Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
It's played up top by Teague now with 10 to shoot. Teague. And now the pass from George is knocked away from Hill and stolen. Here comes Teague. Dunk. Timeout Indiana. The Hawks have responded. And they push the lead back up to 9. On the logo at center, Teague. This is going to be a bad possession. A desperate. Oh, my goodness. Teague running to his left right in front of his own bench. Falling out of bounds. And he heaved up a right hand that went right through the middle. He goes left corner. Korver for three, and he hits. That should nail the coffin shut. 12 points with 1:41 to play. Tonight's final score in Game 3 on the Indiana Members Credit Union scoreboard was the Atlanta Hawks 98, the Indiana Pacers 85.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. And I know that the coach and I have talked about getting together at Wings and Rings in Jasper for some habanero peach wings and watching the Pacer game. But if the Pacers coach play like they have in Game 1 and Game 3, I'm going to be watching the Pittsburgh Penguin game. Hopefully they have it on because I've been thoroughly disgusted.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you what. We're kind of like in the throes of Mudville and the mighty Casey getting ready to strike out. The Pacers, wow. You know, I enjoyed the John Mellencamp music, the short little snippet of John Mellencamp music at the beginning of the show much more than I enjoyed the highlight of the Pacers. And let's face it, folks, we are not a show of doom and gloom, although there are times when we want to be. We're feeling a little bit of the Mudville, the mighty Casey getting ready to strike out with the Pacers. I'm hoping that it's not true. Even with their win the other night in Indianapolis, they held the Hawks under 100 points, played great defense, were able to score the points. There was just this gray area of what's going to happen on the road. And the interesting thing, Joe, for our listeners, we held the Hawks under 100 points. They only had 98. But the anemic, and yes, I use the word anemic. If we have some listeners that don't know what that word is, you can grab your dictionary. Anemic offense of the Pacers continues. And I have been slow to jump on that bandwagon of doom and gloom for the Pacers, but I have been openly honest about my cautious feelings this last month about the Pacers because, folks, I've said it before, and Joe has probably heard me at nauseam say that the Pacers struggle offensively. They don't move the ball like they were early in the year. They weren't a great offensive team anyway. And with this loss, Joe, with this loss in Atlanta, I'm getting nervous, but I am thankful for one thing, Joe. It's a 7-game series, and that is something for Pacer fans to be thankful for.
Well, you know, the thing I look at, too, I did look this up this morning, and 5 of the 8 playoff contests right now are being led right now by the higher seed.
Yeah,
Well,
I don't think it's parity. I think that's just what happens in the NBA playoffs, and that's why, just like the March Madness tournament, you know, a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't watch the NBA till the playoffs," and this is one of those reasons. But that's a great point, Joe, and it gives me a lot of confidence in you as we go into today's show that you are on target with that. One of the series right now that bothers me, Joe, and I don't know how you feel about it, although I do not have them picked as the number one team in the West, is Oklahoma City. They're down, what, 2-1 to Memphis at this point?
Yep.
Durant and Westbrook are the only ones getting shots. Unfortunately, in one of the losses, Westbrook was the only one taking shots down the stretch that they lost. But last night, they did not look good. They did not shoot well. I think Durant missed all of his three-point attempts. I'm not sure, but I think I'm pretty close on that. And they lost to Memphis 98-95. And then the number one seed that I had in the West, the San Antonio Spurs, and they are the number one seed overall in the West, they are not playing well against the Mavs. I think it's only 1-1, but they could be down 0-2. The only saving grace there is I believe that because of the type of basketball that Coach Popovich and the Spurs play, that they will get that figured out. Now, a couple of other series that we might want to just touch on briefly here, Joe, before we, in another segment, jump onto the Pacers a little bit more. You've got the Houston Rockets. Portland is dominating the Houston Rockets. Now, this is going to upset some fans of IU. But, Joe, there is a correlation here. And there are a lot of people that said Kelvin Sampson, no matter what you think of him, as far as rules are concerned, he can coach basketball. He took the Houston University job, University of Houston job, Houston Cougars. He left the Rockets bench as basically the number one assistant to Kevin McHale. And since then, folks, I know I've almost got a Mike Greenberg type sound to me today. Since then, the Rockets have not played good basketball. They've made critical mistakes down the stretch, and some have even questioned Kevin McHale's coaching down the stretch. Joe, could there be any correlation to Kelvin Sampson maybe being more of the strategy guy on that bench, not being there as he prepares his new program with the Houston Cougars?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sampson, I think I've always believed he could coach. I just think that sometimes he skirted the rules, and maybe the NBA was a better place for Kelvin Sampson. I don't know, because, you know, he can definitely coach basketball. But I'll tell you what, though, my favorite play of the night last night, though, had to have been when, I don't know if you saw this, when the Thunder's Kendrick Perkins and Mike Miller fell to the ground and Perkins just sat on him. Is that a legal screen, Coach? I don't know. Wouldn't let him up.
I'll tell you what, that's a smart screen. If it was in my, if we were working on it, it'd be one I'd go for. Hey, he's on the ground, keep him there. And I probably
They both fell to the ground. Perkins ended up on top of him in a sitting motion and then just decided to stay sitting. I didn't know if that was a legal screen or not. So,
well, if it's nothing else, folks, it's a heads-up play. And my gosh, the coaches had to be ecstatic that he thought competitively enough to say, yeah, if I can't get into this play, I'm not going to let him get into this play. So that's interesting. That's interesting. Joe, we've got a great show coming up. We've got I'm going to just touch on a couple things. We've got a new segment coming up called What's Hot and What's Not. Our Indianapolis Hoops contributor, Don Schulteis, will present that coming up in our next segment. It should be interesting to see who Don out in the sports world and even some things on the outside of the non-sport or in the non-sports world. What's hot, what's not. He'll throw that list at me and Joe, and we'll comment a little bit out on it. But that'll be interesting to hear. We've also got, I'm going to look forward to this segment, Joe. We've got the former director. He was called by the media the czar of gambling and compliance, Bill Somm, former director of the NCAA. You also know him as one of our contributors to high school football in the Indianapolis area. He's a former director of the NCAA, and he will be on today. If you don't know, today they will be voting at Northwestern. The players will be voting at Northwestern about joining a labor union or opting to create a labor union. Now, this doesn't necessarily affect the NCAA on the first rung of the ladder. It affects Northwestern. It affects other universities in Illinois. But it will have the long-term and far-reaching effect of the NCAA. So we'll talk a little bit with the former director, Bill Salm, about that. But also, Joe, I don't know if you've caught any of it, but the NCAA president, Emmert, has been going around doing kind of a media dog and pony show. He has, oh, my gosh. You talk about when we screw up on the air. He's been screwing up everywhere he talks. He did a Twitter chat that was horrendous. He's been on the mother station, the mothership, several times. He's been on Dan Patrick. I mentioned Dan Patrick's name. I like Dan Patrick, so I mentioned his name. He's been on the Dan Patrick show. It was really interesting how he viewed the rules, how he viewed the criticisms, how he viewed the questions of why the NCAA does things. But I will love to delve into a few things with Bill Salm. And Joe, we always respect Bill and his experience and his time with the NCAA. So we'll allow him to answer what he wants to answer and give his opinions. But I want to tell our listeners, if you have a question about the NCAA, this really is the time to ask it. You know, very few shows have anyone connected or that has been connected with the NCAA in such a high capacity, and Bill Salm has been. So if you have a question, text the show. Joe, why don't you give them the contact information if they want to get a question to us for the NCAA portion of the show?
Okay. If you want to call in, it's 773-897-6325. You can go to our Facebook page, like us at Coach K and Joe Show. You can text me at 812-630-2449. And, Coach, your number?
They can text me directly, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. You can text me directly. It's not going to cost you anything, 812-480-9449. So I always look forward to when Bill will take some time with us and talk about the NCAA because, folks, you know, we are probably historically at a point in a fork in the road, so to speak. The NCAA really needs to figure out how they're going to handle things going forward. And things could blow up. This is a nonprofit, billion-dollar group, and they've brought us a lot of fun. I mean, they've grown college sports to where so many people have so much fun with it, but they really are in a situation that they've got to figure out what they're going to do. And maybe Bill can help us get some insight into that. I don't think, you know, there's any necessarily answers we're going to find, but it should be a lot of fun. We're also going to be talking, we've got the mailbag, of course, but we're going to be talking again about MLB, the NFL draft coming up, things going on in college basketball. We're going to be taking a break here in a couple minutes, so I don't want to jump too much into it, but we've got news on Michigan, Mitch McGarry. If you haven't heard, Mitch McGarry is opting for the NBA, and we're hearing some interesting things on why that might be. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show. I don't know if Josh Houchin wants to call in and talk about that or not, but this is a big blow. This is a big blow for Michigan because not only did they lose John Horford, who decided to do a fifth-year transfer situation, they're also losing probably the reason John Horford transferred, Joe, because of Mitch McGarry. You know, Mitch was out all year, so John Horford probably figures Mitch McGarry's coming back. My playing time's going to be limited. My stock is going to be devalued if I have a chance at the NBA. And now Mitch McGarry's leaving. Joe, were you as stunned about that news as I was?
Well, I have Twitter alerts from Golden Black Illustrated, Purdue, and they had retweeted ESPN. I think it was Andy Katz that broke it on Twitter. And at first I didn't know, is Michigan getting a suspension or did Mitch McGary get one? And then, Don Schultheis, always on the spot, researched it real fast and texted me back that it was marijuana related. And, we want to touch on that one with Don when he comes on. But it was interesting.
Well, one of our frequent guests is Tom Dienert of the Big Ten Network, a Big Ten.com executive writer. Joe, you might text him and just see if he has any other news on that. I know Tom has always been great about contributing to the show. So
I've called and texted him. He must be busy today because I didn't get a response from either. But yeah, it's quite interesting news. I mean, I bet you Michigan wish they would have known this news before Horford decided to leave. And I wonder, and I've heard of universities doing this lately, some of them re-recruiting players that decided to leave. So they'll do that.
Yeah, I'm not saying that can't happen. But we'll talk a little bit about Mitch McGary later in the show. We've got more to talk about on the Pacers, folks. We also want to mention later in the show, UB is bringing in some big treat, tall timber, some beef, some help in a post area that I believe Coach Simmons loved the way he does things, would love to be a part of that. He's got some holes he's filling, and he looks like he's doing a pretty good job. We'll talk about some of the things going on in college basketball. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have our Indianapolis contributor, Don Schultheis, and we're going to be talking about what's hot and what's not. Don's going to throw it at us, talk a little bit about it. We're going to give our feelings about it. But it should be a great new segment that we add to the show. Come on, Texas, call us. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you think. You listen to us live. You can listen to us on podcast. It really doesn't matter, but to call the show, 773-897-6325. We're going to go to our first break, and you are listening. You are so fortunate to be listening, as we are to have you listening, to the Coach Canjo Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking to the coach, listening to the coach probably as well. Folks, I'll tell you what, this is a great time of year. And I kid you not, this is a great time of year to get your financial house in order. You've got to get you're looking for perpetuation of your finances. You're looking to build a nest egg for later on. You're looking to put money back for your kids in college. It's easy to say that you're going to do it. Folks, everybody always says they're going to do it. You need to get a financial advisor. You need to get a partner when it comes to finances. call Janet Schultheis with Edward Jones. Edward Jones has decades of planning success when it comes to people's financial lifestyles and future. You know, don't wait till tomorrow to do what you could have done today so you can enjoy tomorrow, so your kids can get to college, so you can get the tax-free opportunities that are out there. Don't let Uncle Sam take what you've worked hard to earn. And if you've left an employer, don't leave your money with them, your retirement with them. Move it to Janet Schultheis at Edward Jones. She'll help you grow it. She'll help make sure you have it. So listen, go to our website, CoachKandJoeShow.com, CoachKandJoeShow.com. You'll see her number right there and a pretty picture of her as well. Or you can just call her right now at 812-479-8215. Her assistant, can she do the job? Beth Geltz will get you started, and Janet will get you moving on the road to your financial future. We are back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we've got our Indianapolis Hoops contributor, Don Schultheis, and we've got a new segment started on the show. And, Don, you are the who's hot, who's not. And welcome to the show, Don.
Coach K, great to be on today. I think this is going to be a lot of fun talking about hot and not, because it just seems like in sports, just about every day, there's several on each side of that. So how do we want to start this, Coach?
I'll tell you what. Basically, let me kind of explain what we're going to do. Every week or about every week, Don, we'll have a who's hot, who's not list. It could be sports-related, individually sports-related, team sports-related. It can be pro, college, high school, anything that Don sees hot or not. And it could be outside of the sports realm. Maybe it's just some major snafu going on in the business world and the politicians, or maybe somebody's on a roll somewhere in their career or in their company, and Don's going to bring it to us. So Don, let's start on the positive side. Let's start with who's hot.
Okay, and then I'll, after we do the hot, then we'll match it up with a not. How's that?
Okay. That'll
right.
work.
Well, let's start out by just, you'd mentioned Marty Simmons securing some tall timber at U of E. Well, Jason Gardner, if your listeners have not heard, is the new IUPUI coach. And IUPUI has struggled the last few years. And Jason came in, and he has locked down four D1 transfers, former Indiana All-Stars, in less than 10 days. And I'd say, Coach K, that is pretty hot for Jason Gardner and the IUPUI future of the program in basketball.
I would say, Don, that Jason Gardner is hot.
And I'll counter that with one New York Yankee starting pitcher, Michael Pineda, not sure on the pronunciation, but he has been suspended for 10 games. For what? For putting pine tar on the back of his neck and trying to doctor up the ball. Now, they've been trying to do this. I think this is going back 60, 70 years, but they're still trying to get away with it. And, Michael, you got caught. And you're suspended for 10 games, and you are not hot.
No, Michael Pineda, you are hot not.
And let's talk a couple of teams that are hot. Right now, the Cincinnati Reds, after a lackluster start and one that it was really disappointing Reds fans around the country, have now won three games in a row, which currently is one of the hottest teams in baseball. And I'll combine that with the Washington Wizards, who would have thought that Randy Whitman, the head coach, would be able to get the Washington Wizards up 2-0 on the Chicago Bulls, who everybody thought was one of the hottest teams. But no, it's the Washington Wizards. And the Cincinnati Reds right now, that are hot.
that it would be safe to say the Reds are hot, the Wizards and Whitman are hot, but the Bulls are not.
And I'll combine that with our Indiana Pacers down one, 2-1 versus the Atlanta Hawks. They did look a little bit like the old Pacers in their win the other night, but last night they went back to the same old doldrum, lackluster performing team that we've seen since February. And I'll add in Roy Hibbert, who looks like he's totally debacleized, coach. Woeful performances in the last, well, really since February, and especially here in the playoffs. The Pacers and Roy Hibbert are not hot. They are definitely not hot. But let's flip back to the positives, as you like to do, Coach, because you're really positive motivator. Jeff Teague, on the other hand, with the Atlanta Hawks, has really, he came into Indy and played in front of his hometown crowd and has put on a show, ate George Hill up in game one. Last night, he had 20 points and 10 assists, leading the Hawks to a victory. He's the first player since, guess when, 1986 and Spud Webb to put 20 points, at least 20 points and 10 assists on the board. Jeff T, coach, is hot.
He is definitely hot. Definitely hot. Since what a great, Don, what a great job of bringing somebody out of the past. Spud Webb.
Yeah, John Botbotarf will probably know that name really well, and I'm expecting him to text in or call in to add a little bit of color to that. But on the other side, you mentioned this organization, the NCAA. We've got a Division I football team today at Northwestern is voting to whether or not to unionize. I also just caught information that the NCAA, under probably a lot of pressure, has taken another step to let the top five football conferences in college football to move towards more autonomy on how they play their football games, run their tournament, everything like that. And as you pointed out in your opening comments, Mark Emmert is running around the country and telling everybody that wants to listen how the NCAA has got their act together. But, coach, the NCAA is not hot.
they are frigid. They are oh my gosh. They absolutely can't find any heat. The NCAA, they're getting the heat, but they don't have any heat, Don. What else you got?
I got just a couple of more. Bear with me. I think it was last night there in the local scene, a baseball team put on 22 runs, had 20 hits. The Jasper Wildcat baseball team scored 22 runs and 20 hits and had 20 hits to do it versus Washington High School. I'd say Jasper is hot, 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 and Washington High School giving up 22 runs in a baseball game, and the pitcher's giving up 20 hits. Washington High School, as hot as Jasper's baseball team is, Washington's baseball team is not hot.
Definitely not yesterday. They were definitely
let me,
no
let me end this segment, because I know I'm going over time, with the point that you guys had talked about with Mitch McGarry. Yes, it was broke this morning that Mitch McGarry on the hot side is declaring for the NBA. Mitch put on a great performance 2 years ago, particularly in the NCAA tournament. His stock went up. He was hurt this past year, did not play. But he's declaring to become an NBA player, which puts him in the hot category. But he's also, the reason he's doing it, Coach, is that he tested positive to marijuana drug test. I'm not sure about the details of when that was done, but maybe he thought he was safe given that he wasn't on the floor this year, but he was tested. He got caught, and guess what? He's not hot on that side. He's like a black and white cookie. You got the same cookie, but each side tastes a little different. He's definitely hot and not.
Ying and the yang.
Well, Don, don't leave us yet. It is the end of our Who is Hot and Who is Not segment, which was smoking. But let's stay on this Mitch McGarry. You and Joe jumped on this story right when it came out. Don, I have talked to a couple of different college coaches, and this is in no way indicative of what they believe. They don't believe in it. But their feeling and their comments to me is that marijuana use among college athletes is not something that's just sporadic, that a lot of these kids coming out of their high school cultures, their neighborhoods, the communities they live in, where they grew up, how they've grown up, their brothers and sisters before them, the friends that they've been around, marijuana use for a lot of these, and I'm saying a lot of these college basketball players, football players, athletes, is common. Not uncommon, it's common. It's just whether, when you're tested, it comes out negative or positive.
Well, yes, I think that it is common. It's when the couple of states in our union have already made it legal. Other states have made it legal for medicinal purposes, and other states are on the verge over probably the next 5 to 10 years, unless something radically changes, you're going to see the legalization of pot and or however you want to call it, marijuana, the wacky weed, be more and more accepted. And I think that, you know, the jury, I don't know. Some people claim that it's not addictive. Other people say that it is. It's definitely a gateway drug. It definitely affects some more radically than others. The other thing that I'm always concerned about, Coach K, is that the sellers of the drug are now lacing it with substances that are addictive. And when you've got that kind of stuff going on, not to mention the problems that you end up doing by just smoking anything. And these guys are top-tier athletes that are smoking this stuff. And I guess you know where I stand on it. I don't like it. I think it's going to lead to bigger problems. But it's definitely a wave that's going to be hard to counter.
Yeah, I think that we're seeing this move that when it starts being legalized in different points. I mean, does Mitch McGarry come back, and I know that he's not going to, but does he come back and say, I was in Colorado where it's legal. I've been hurting. I took a little marijuana because somebody told me it would dull the pain or help me through the pain. I mean, what kind of things could athletes bring out of this and fight the NCAA or fight the schools on as we go forward in the future? Because folks, as Don knows, and Don's been, he's a parent, he's been involved in schools and communities, he's been in high-level finance, so he's out there and he knows about our legal system. There are attorneys that will fight either side of anything. And I don't think it will be long, Don, before we see some court cases come up to fight drug tests where kids were in Colorado or one of the states, a state of Washington, where it's legal, where maybe they were nursing an injury, and all of a sudden, doesn't matter what the rule was or what the rules of the school were on paper, it'll matter who's willing to spend the money, who's willing to fight it in court. Am I too far off there, Don? No, I think that is on the horizon. If it's not already, probably there's probably cases already going in with that, particularly in the states where it's legal. Now, Colorado's recently, whether the last year plus, has legalized it, but you know, you could have people using that on a regular basis, and unless they don't have team rules against it, or I guess these private organizations like the NCAA, if they have rules, do you know the rules? In order to play, you have to abide by those rules. But with all the pressure going on, there'll be changes made, no doubt about it.
You know, at the top of the hour, in the start of our second segment, we're going to have our second hour, we're going to have Bill Somm, a former NCAA director, also known, and folks, you can find it on the Internet, as the czar of gambling compliance. One of the questions, and I'm not going to get into it right now because I want to save it for Bill, but Kelvin Sampson's back in the news. I'm going to tell you that I met Kelvin Sampson back in the early 80s when he was at Washington State. There is no doubt he's an outstanding coach. His father was a longtime high school coach. He recently passed away. They had a great relationship, as we have had with our father, Ed Schulteis, former high school basketball coach and really a friend, not just our dad, but a friend, someone we go to still at 85 and talk to him on a daily basis. But Kelvin left the NBA. He was really on the fast track of possibly becoming an NBA head coach at some point. I recently read an article. You know, he's now the head coach going to try to revive what used to be a wonderful college basketball program, the Houston Cougars. Of course, Drexler, Olajuwon, they had one fiery coach there during that period. He was the outstanding coach, never got the credit he should have gotten. And then once he got out of basketball, Houston's done nothing. But my point is, you probably know where I'm headed here, Don. I'm going to be asking Bill some questions about Kelvin Sampson. What was illegal and today is legal? And how do we look at that going forward with just what you talked about, these marijuana questions? So what are your thoughts about Kelvin Sampson serving his time out of college basketball? Of course, great experience on the NBA level, and now he's back in college basketball. Your thoughts?
Well, I think he's a cheater, first of all. I think that he knew full well what the rules were. He violated those rules, whether he likes them or not. By defiance, you don't go ahead and cheat and, you know, basically shrug it off as just something that you should be able to do. He's paid his time, I guess, out of the game. Houston's catching the knife, in my opinion, by bringing him back. And the bottom line is, he's going to have to win there, number one, but I hope that there's a number of people that are going to be watching him and policing him and making sure that he doesn't cross the line, because he's got a rep. I really believe that he might love the college basketball game, but he's back at college because he wants to correct some legacy of his future legacy, and he wants to somehow fix it and make it look a little bit better. And as you said, he was on the fast track possibly being named an NBA coach. He was mentioned even last year a number of times when jobs were open. And as I sat back and thought about it, I just feel like he's trying to change his legacy or make it look better. Those are my thoughts.
And last, before we let you go, and I hope you'll listen to, if you have the opportunity to listen to our segment with Bill Somm, because I am going to ask him some pretty pointed NCAA questions, and I know he's no longer with the NCAA, but I feel like he can give us some insight to their thinking. And some of these were rules when he was there, and they're no longer rules. But Kentucky has lost a couple guys to the NBA, but I was surprised at some of the guys that decided to stay. I don't think there's any doubt that the number one team in the country next year is probably going to run through Kentucky Lexington.
Yeah, I would say so, Coach K. I mean, they got a lot of talent returning, and they got a lot of talent going in. The Indiana Mr. Basketball, Trey Lyles, is headed there, and they've got a lot of tall timber that has decided to stick around, Coach. And I'm just wondering if Trey Lyles is sitting there going, whoa, I was hoping to be a one-and-doneer, and I may not even get much time. So, wow, that kind of screws up Coach Cal's formula for success, is to run the best freshman in the country in and run them back out to the NBA and bring in a new crop. So there's going to be a little – I'd say there's going to be a little discontent. Now, from a coach's standpoint, it's going to be great because there's going to be a lot of competition for spots and minutes, and it's going to push these guys harder. But it'll be interesting to see how Coach Cal can work his magic with freshmen and sophomores.
Don, great insight. Love the who's hot, who's not. Look forward to that going forward. And any info on hoops in the Indianapolis area. Of course, Don lives in Indianapolis, so he's kind of feeling the bite of the Pacers up there. Don, before I let you go, I got to say this. I am absolutely sad, or maybe the proper word is saddened. Saddened by how quickly the media, which shouldn't shock, it doesn't shock me, I'm saddened by it, how quickly the media and many fans have turned on the Pacers, dialed up the end of the season already, turned on Frank Vogel. I am a little surprised how quickly they're giving in instead of, you know, strapping it up, putting it on and saying, hey, you know, we're not the best team in the NBA. We knew that going in. We knew that now. Let's just figure it out and let's move forward. It's got to be a sullen attitude or feeling in Indianapolis right now, at least the way the media paints it.
Well, I think that's correct because I think that everybody up here that were Pacer fans really believe this could be that magical year that has escaped this franchise since the ABA days. And they were showing it the first half of the year. Then comes February, and the car breaks down in the middle of the highway, leaking oil, maybe out of gas. I don't know. Coach, I believe by looking at the body chemistry of these guys, the body English, that there's something more that we don't know about that's affecting this team. I don't know what it is. You know, they make a big deal about two players, Stevenson and Evan Turner, getting in a fight the other day. But, you know, as a coach, if you don't a couple times a year get to a point where a couple of your players are competing so hard and battling so hard that it doesn't, you know, get to that level, then they're not putting it out, right?
I mean, I agree. And mom and dad, the moms and dads listening to the show, I'm sorry, but Don's absolutely correct. If your kids aren't mixing it up, if your players aren't mixing it up once in a while in practice, then they're not competing the way they need to, and they're not focused on trying to get where they need to go. It should be more competitive in practice to the point that it becomes easier in the game. That never concerned me. What concerns me is Hibbert. He looks like he's hurt. I think when it's all said and done, we're going to find out that not only was Hibbert maybe fragile mentally, I think we're going to find out that he's hurt more than what we know. Yeah, and George Hill, I don't know what's going on with Hill. He's not the same player. Joe has a question for you, Don.
All right, Donnie, I actually have two questions. I came up with another one while you were talking about the Pacers. I'm going to ask the Pacer question first. You know, I was in Indianapolis right before the All-Star break and was listening to Sports Talk Radio up there, and Hibbert was very, very adamant about how he thought it was stupid, you know, that Paul George was going to be in the dunk contest. He made a big issue of it. I'm not sure if you were. I just heard it on that Sports Talk Radio show that day.
Yes, I was aware of that.
And since then, it's just been kind of a decline. Do you think that him opening his mouth has had something to do with the demise of this team at all?
Well, I don't think that that comment alone. Now, if that is a symptom, or if that's showing that there's some deeper jealousy, you know, Hibbert was on the All-Star team a couple of years ago, and you know, if that's showing that there was a little bit of a jealousy there, or a misunderstanding, I think Paul George has catapulted into the starlight, and he has not particularly handled himself with a lot of class and professionalism, Joe. I mean, last week or so, we talked about him getting a little bit into trouble with rumors about an exotic dancer that he got with and may have a paternal lawsuit, and being catfished with some body parts that were all over the internet a month or month and a half ago. You know, he's putting himself in some situations where maybe he can't handle the limelight or the starlight at this point. Granted, he's only 23, 24 years old, so he's young. But there's a lot of cross currents going there. So I'm not sure, but it sounds like there are some egos that are clashing. And I think Lance Stephenson adds to the fire in that, too.
Okay, second thing, first of all, I want to do a little promo here. I don't know if you know this, Jasper Today, yes, people, it is coming out in March. It's coming out tonight. My Windows XP to Windows 8 that I had to change to has slowed this way down. But Spencer Otto is going to be the Student Athlete of the Month. And I know
Spencer's good choice. That's a great choice, Joe.
I know Spencer's just been DHing, and I do know also that he filled out the questionnaire by going to a doctor the other day. And can you give us a little update on his health?
Well, Spencer's doctor report came back positive. He does have some cysts in the shoulder area, but it shouldn't be causing pain. I was told that no further major action needs to be done on his shoulder. He needs to rest it, get it feeling better, and he should be ready to go if the pain starts to subside, and you know, he can take minor pain medication to control the severe pain if it comes back and that kind of thing. But I think they're going to be bringing him back slow. But the good thing, Joe, is no structural damage.
That's good to hear.
Well, for listeners who are not local to the Southern Indiana area, Spencer Otto, we also cover high school sports as well in the tri-state. Spencer Otto is an athlete at Jasper High School, plays football, baseball, and right now we're talking about his baseball situation. Don, great stuff. I can't wait for our next our top of the hour segment. I can't wait to ask some NCAA questions. But great stuff, and thanks for joining us. And, folks, you can hear Don Schulteis, who's hot, who's not, hopefully every Friday and on podcast here at the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Joe and I are going to talk a little bit about just some college jobs, college transfers, high school area jobs that are open before we get into our top of the hour segment with Bill Somm, former director, also known as the czar of gambling and agent compliance with the NCAA. We're going to break. You are, yes, you are. You are a part of the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. Coach, I meant to mention this earlier. You know when The Walls Come Tumbling Down by John Cougar Mellencamp came up, that was just kind of – it must have been a subliminal mistake by me because we were going to talk about the Pacers, and for some reason I hit that instead of the open. Do you think I did it subliminally or what?
It could have been. It could have been subliminal. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Anytime, you got the NCAA, you've got to think of the walls come tumbling down. But when we go to that quick break and right before Bill Song comes on, maybe you play that again, Joe. Maybe that comes on again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting that that's what I actually hit. So,
you know, Don talked about the what who's hot who's not segment, and he brought up Randy Whitman, the coach of the Washington Wizards. And Joe, I don't think for our listeners if you follow anything in the NBA, you know that the Washington Wizards have just been down for a long time. They used to be the Washington Bullets. They had the great teams with Unsell and Hayes, won an NBA championship. Dick Botta was the coach. I was fortunate to meet Dick and also spend time with his son Kip in the early years of coaching. Randy Whitman, a former IU great from the state of Indiana, he's taken that team. It's a young team. It's a team that's been able to pile up some good draft choices. Right now they're playing as well as anyone in the playoffs. I do not think that they are a threat to beat the Heat and get to the NBA Finals if they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I think he's done a great job. I think it's worth mentioning because you have on the other side Mike Woodson, who just recently was relieved of his duties as the New York Knicks coach now that Phil Jackson's taken over. The Knicks missed the playoffs. We won't even get into Carmelo Anthony. You know how I feel about that. But my point is this. We have a who's hot in Randy Whitman. We had a who's not in Mike Woodson, and they're both former IU basketball players. So I thought that was interesting. Joe, we've got Pike Central open. We've got Edgewood near Bloomington open. We've got Center Grove open around Indianapolis. This is the time of the year high school coaching positions open up. This is the time of year college coaching positions open up. But the whole key to this is the domino effect. When one guy leaves one place to go to another place, it opens up this, and another guy leaves this. I know Noblesville just opened up. Longtime coach there, no longer in that position. So this is a busy time of year, not just for players transferring on the college level, but college coaches moving and high school coaches moving.
Yeah, it's a crazy time, and I think that somewhat that's had to do with craziness of also players moving. I mean, you know, there's so many of them that sign with someone, and then that coach isn't there, and that totally changes everything because, you know, the new coach might have a different coaching philosophy. I mean, you know, if Matt Painter left today and you hired a Rick Pitino, you know, Rick likes to get out there and go. And, you know, and Matt's more of a structured, you know, half-court offense. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where people don't realize that there are changes. But also, though, the transferring, as far as the transfer goes, it's just been made. It's just become too easy for the kids. You know, I mean, back in the 80s, I mean, you saw some players from Dan Balambizio and Mike Giomi. You know, a few players leave, but not to the. I mean, the list that I pulled up a list of players that are transferring the other day, and it was it took a while to get through.
Yeah, and with those transfers, and you just brought up an important one, and let's just bring it to the table, Joe. Missouri just recently opened. I don't know that they filled it. Maybe they did, and I don't know. But the Missouri basketball job just opened. They made a big deal of how the head coach left. He texted the AD and said, hey, I'm going to take this other job. My feeling in this day and age is, first, I'm sure that was all taken out of context. I'm sure that's how he originally communicated, hey, something's going on. But secondly, are schools any better when they walk in and say you're fired or send in somebody and say you're fired? But my bigger point is, for Purdue fans out there, people in the Midwest, Joe, are you hearing, is Matt Painter, who was a candidate for the Missouri job the last time, is he possibly a candidate again?
A lot of people think, a lot of the Purdue people I've talked to and glanced at message boards is, you know, he's not the hottest coach. He's not as hot as he was 2 years ago, you know, with what transpired in West Lafayette. And they think that Missouri would have to give him a raise, and they're not sure Missouri, A, is willing to give him a raise, you know, closer up to about a $3 million a year deal. And plus, the first time they were after Matt Painter, there was not a buyout. Now there's a $1 million buyout. And so there's questions on that. Brian Newbert at Golden Black Illustrated, he's conveyed many times that he thinks it's a fruitless endeavor to even investigate, that Matt Painter's not going to go anywhere. Now, who knows? Sometimes you hear that, and the next thing you know, everything rolls the other way. So, I think Matt's a good coach, but I think the last time he flirted with Missouri, everyone was frantic, worried about it. I remember I was constantly looking up, you know, on the internet trying to find out news. I don't think people would be as worried this time.
Also, this week, I believe news came out that IU had lost one of their assistant coaches, and he was going to Louisville. He's a person who has been praised for his recruiting ties out on the East Coast. And I would say to those IU fans listening, I agree it's a loss on the recruiting side. I do agree with that. But I'm not so sure it's a loss as far as player development and team development. And, folks, no matter what you think, a head coach is the guy who oversees it, gives a direction to go, dots the I's, crosses the T's, creates the outline of how we're going to get things done. But to have one or two key assistant coaches makes all the difference in the world, because it allows the head coach to be able to focus on areas while another assistant coach who gets it, who understands it, who knows how to do the job, can be focused on some other areas as well. And they can also mutually come together to kind of script where they're going. I've had very good assistant coaches. It makes the job so much easier. And when I say easier, it doesn't mean I didn't have to work hard. It just meant there was an ease in the work process. It's kind of like the assembly line that didn't have a lot of glitches. It was flowing. And I've had poor assistant coaches. They were more interested in being seen on the sideline. Listen to what I'm saying. It's kind of like the YouTube video player. They were more interested in being seen on the sideline than getting the work done that it takes behind the scenes. And I don't think that – I think right now IU could use as much as recruiting is important, and it is critical for college folks. I'm not going to kid you. You've got to have players. You've got to have players. But it helps to have coaches who understand the vision, who can bring something to the table, who can prepare a little bit for the meal as well. So, folks, we're going to go to a very, very short Coach K and Joe show break. We're going to start the second hour of the show with former director of gambling and agents, also known at one time as the czar at the NCAA when it came to gambling and compliance. Bill Somm will be on. We're going to talk some NCAA stuff with him. Hopefully he'll open that vault of knowledge and help us a little bit. Of course, Bill is not there anymore. We never want to put him on the spot as regards to his professionalism from what he talks to us about and whatnot. He's great about that. And we also might talk a little NFL draft with him. He's got a background as a football coach. He keeps up on the sport. And the NFL draft is coming up, folks. So let's go to a quick break, Joe. When we come back, we'll have Bill Somm. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the Coach on this Friday morning, mid-morning, I guess you could say. We're getting towards the noon hour. Their second hour begins, and we've got with us, he comes on and he talks Indianapolis area football with us, but today he puts on his former NCAA director's hat. We welcome to the show Bill Somm.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Have you?
Yes.
I'm doing well. Yes. It's good to get out of this winter doldrums and into the spring. And where I'm at in southern Indiana, we got beautiful sunshine.
It's raining here in Indy, but they say the sun's coming this afternoon. So it's, at least it is not snowing. You're correct.
Well, we'll send the sun your way. And, Bill, first of all, let me congratulate you on your son, who will be attending West Point to play football next fall.
Thanks, Coach. It's really a great opportunity for Zach and he's worked hard, and the coaching staff at Cathedral High School worked hard, and it's a special moment. He wants to serve his country, and he wants to play a little football, and as they say at West Point, excuse me, but beat the hell out of Navy. So we're excited about that, and we were up there last weekend for the spring game, and it's full go ahead. So we're excited. Thank you very much.
Well, we are excited for Zach as well. It's a great new chapter step in his career, not just football-wise, education-wise, but also as a young man growing up. So let's talk a little NCAA. And Bill, you know, I never try to put you on the spot, and you can only talk to us about what you feel comfortable talking to us about. But you are a former director who kept track of compliance as far as gambling and agents and things like that. So you have a great depth of knowledge at the NCAA, along with other things that you did there. Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, has been doing a dog and pony show. I will give him credit for, one, not hiding behind the veil and trying to get out ahead of these things. Two, I will question him for not hiding behind the veil and trying to get out in front of these things, because I'm not sure how well orchestrated and prepared he has been for some of the questions that have come at him. He's been on ESPN. He's had a Twitter chat going on. He's been on the Dan Patrick Show. Who knows? Maybe I'll get him on the Coach K and Joe Show. But my point being is there's a lot of questions, a lot of criticisms, which there always is when you're a big, successful group. There's a lot of ideas of what they should do, what they shouldn't do. And I might add to this, Bill, right now, and you can answer or respond any way you want, I think there's a lot of confusion going around right now when it comes to the NCAA, what they control, to the universities, what they control. For example, the labor union vote, a lot of people are connecting this directly to the NCAA, but it's not at this point. It's going to get there. But at this point, it's really an Illinois-Northwestern situation, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Today is, quite frankly, it's an historic day in the history of college athletics because the 76 scholarship football players at Northwestern are voting to whether they wish to unionize or not. But to your point, Coach, of what's clear and what isn't clear, that whole deal with Northwestern is a little bit confusing also. I think your listeners need to know, and this isn't bad or good either way, but they need to know that that football team didn't ask the National Labor Relations Board to unionize. There were outside lawyers and outside advocates for this whole student-athlete thing all the way from California who found one ex-football player from Northwestern who did not talk to his teammates and who did not interview them or get their point of view. And this ex-player and these lawyers went to the National Labor Relations Board and got the answer they wanted to hear. So those 76 kids voted. But interesting enough, we're not going to know the results of that vote, possibly for years, because yesterday the National Labor Relations Board agreed to an appeal by Northwestern University, and they agreed to lock down those votes and not talk about them, not publicize them. So that whole adventure at Northwestern is just beginning, but it is very confusing, as you mentioned. And having said that, it's an historic day because no matter how you go about explaining how that vote came about, there's still 76 NCAA Division I athletes voting on whether they want to unionize or not.
Bill, let me throw two scenarios at you, kind of analogies. I think I know which way you're going to go. Is this the boy who cries wolf, or is this the little Dutch boy, if you can picture it, at the dike? There's a little hole, and that's Mark Emmert sticking his finger in that hole, or trying to anyway. Is the NCAA seeing some holes in the dike, or is this just some attorneys? And we talked earlier on the show that there's an attorney who will take anything to court. I've got two sisters who are attorneys. They're outstanding attorneys, Jennifer Schulteis-Elston and Beth Schulteis-Berger. They're outstanding attorneys. But is it the attorney grabbing somebody and the boy crying wolf, or is Mark Emmert the Dutch boy putting his fingers in different holes in the dike?
Well, I think that's a fair question. I also believe there's a couple answers to that, and I think it falls both ways. Number one, there is no doubt that our student-athletes, enrolled student-athletes at NCAA schools deserve more of something. Now, that's where it all falls off the railroad track. What is something, you know? And every kid and every parent and every athletic administrator in the NCAA has a different definition of what it is they should have. From a PR angle, it's definitely Emmert's guy is sticking his finger in one hole and there's 50 others blowing up. It's a horrendous public relations failure. Is there a mechanism to fix it? Oh, gosh. In theory, I could wax on about the governance process and say, yes, there's a way to do it. But, you know, I started at the NCAA in 1988, and I sat through a plethora of meetings where we discussed the bagels and we discussed reducing amateurism issues, and we discussed the calendar, and we discussed all kinds of issues. And, for so long they wanted to keep a level playing field. Now, I think a great thing is that we're moving away from that. You know, that's not the mantra anymore. It's not the bottom line is not to create a level playing field so that Evansville can compete against IU. So because of that, I think the student-athletes are going to get more stuff. But – you know, it's just such an incredible discussion because certainly when we get into these discussions, everybody thinks about the IU or Purdue basketball player. But you know what? IU's got a baseball team and Purdue's got they probably have a rowing team and they certainly have a women's softball team and there's probably about eight people that go to those games. So, you know, they're a drag on the budget. But certainly I support all those non-revenue sports, as they're called. So it's a mess because The schools were not active. They were not proactive. They are now being reactive in regards to providing more benefits to student athletes, and it's a horrendous public relations disaster.
Well, you Bill, you kind of read my mind. You know, I don't know how you knew I was going to bring up the bagel situation, but I am going to bring it up. And just a couple of things. First of all, I am not against the NCAA. I understand, just in my experiences in some administrative positions when it comes to education or coaching, whatever it might be, there are a lot of different layers that people don't understand. You've got a board. You've got university presidents. They all got to vote on things. They all got to understand it. It takes time to do that. But I was a little surprised at how small, how far down it got to the bagel and cream cheese, the difference between a snack and a meal. I found that a little bit, it just bogs the process down. And another point I would make is, you brought it up, and I'm just going to extend it. None of these schools are making money on the billions of dollars. If there is, there's just a couple. Athletic departments are in the red everywhere unless they come up with extra money, which you see a place like IU, who I think is a great university. They've made some missteps in their athletic department over the last decade, trying to be at the top of the Big Ten, and spent millions of dollars on contracts that they've never gotten anything back for. But athletes, the university doesn't just give athletes a bed, classrooms to go to. The athletic departments have to pay the university for the scholarships that the players are getting.
That's exactly right. It's an incredible financial drain on the athletic department. You know, the bagel discussion is an incredibly ridiculous discussion. Having said that, it's part of I've always said that if I came back in my second life, my major would be in sociology and sport, because it's just a comment on human nature, the whole bagel thing. Why? Because you have to regulate human beings, and the human beings you have to regulate are the competitive human beings. And if IU could give one bagel, then Purdue would give two. And then IU would be upset. And it just got to the point of ridiculousness. And until it became public and people were embarrassed, and until people got over the fact of, once again, keeping the playing field level, no one could get past it. You know, they regulate, or for the longest time, they regulated the number of pages in the press guides, and they regulated the number of colored pictures, because Evansville could maybe publish a 50-page press guide, and IU could publish a 250-page press guide. Again, that is by the wayside, because folks have been embarrassed by it, and again, we're away from the whole level playing field. And I think you're gonna have a little bit more intelligent discussions now.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, if you really wanted to delve into the situation, folks, or to our listeners, I'm kind of extending this out. And you may not think it matters, but Rick Pitino, John Calipari, guys that have gone out and they're writing books while they're still coaching. If you don't think that is a great PR opportunity for them with parents and coaches of athletes coming up and things like that, you're missing the point completely. And so I understand the press guy. These are all things you can sell your future athletes that you want at your school. We do this. This school can't do that. They don't have the funds to do it. Their departments aren't set up like this. It almost gets monotonous that you have to deal with that, but you're right. Competitive human beings, if there is a marketing advantage, a competitive advantage somewhere, they will find it.
Exactly. I mean, we've all seen Coach Calipari go on his media tour the last 2 weeks. You would have thought he won the national championship. Everyone's forgotten that he lost it, but he's been on every major news show, every major gossip show. He's on every major sports show marketing his book. And John Calipari is a friend of mine, but I'm not so sure he really sat down and wrote that book. You know, I mean, I'm sure he sat down with whoever's name is on that. And, you know, I've been involved in a couple books when I've submitted chapters on gambling to the individuals who were writing a book on college athletics, and they did not take credit for it. So, I mean, they did it ethically and properly, but all these famous people don't write these books, you know. But having said that, once again, you know, if you're an IU fan, you're probably tired of seeing Calipari on national TV for the last 2 weeks. Oh, ironically, 2 weeks before signing date. you know, it's just the way of the world.
Yeah, it is. Okay, let me throw some other things at you and get your thoughts on them. Okay, recent news came out. The NCAA, at least preliminarily, has voted that they're going to give the top five conferences a little more autonomy on how they structure their tournaments and things like that. Any response to that?
Well, I think what they're really discussing, Coach, is letting those five conferences expand the rules a little bit on the such things as meals and bagels and recruiting visits and stipends on recruiting visits and numbers of coaches, et cetera. I think that's fine. I mean, the bottom line is that Kent State, Bowling Green, and I'm not beating up Evansville, but I'm thinking your listeners can relate to that. They're never going to have the money that Alabama, IU, and Purdue and Ohio State has. So, you know, rarely do they compete against them for recruits. So I think it makes common sense. I think it's all good. I don't think anybody needs to worry that the NCAA tournament is going to disintegrate. You know, the contract is between the NCAA and CBS and Turner and TNT. That contract will hold up. I mean, please understand that the folks at the NCAA knew that someday all this was going to come, and that contract, while I've not seen it firsthand, is written ironclad. I'm relatively certain. So those five conferences are not going to take off and run off and create some other name of an association. But I do think it makes sense that they can make some decisions on their own. And if they want 15 tight end coaches, who really cares? You know, if they want to spend their money that way, you know, it's really not going to change the game.
Let me throw another one at you. Current situation, Mitch McGarry of Michigan, a former high school player in Indiana, had the great NCAA tournament run, was injured last year, was coming back. In fact, John Horford probably decided to transfer, the fifth-year transfer rule, because McGarry was coming back. He has and said he's going to the NBA. We're hearing that it possibly involves a drug test with marijuana. It looks like to me he avoids any sanctions. He's got the out to go to the NBA. Two things here, Bill. Get your thoughts on it from your NCAA hat, and I know things are changing as we move. At what point do you feel like, you know, these kids, especially the level of talent, Mitch McGarry, he's not screwed in any way. He just goes to the NBA. And two, when will kids get an attorney, or when will an attorney go find a player and say, he smoked this when he was in Denver. He lives in the state of Washington. It's legal. He had an injury. I mean, what's going to happen when our country starts changing its rules state by state? How's that going to start affecting the NCAA?
Well, it has always affected it. Maybe not impact. It has always impacted the NCAA on issues that I would identify as more minor than drugs, you know, such as an agent law. There's never been a federal agent law as such. And when I was in charge of the agent situation, we had to go state by state by state to try and pass these laws. And agents were treated differently in each state, and it just caused an incredible mess. In regards to the drugs, it creates an incredible mess. I mean, quite frankly, it's creating a mess at the high school level because our kids, our own sons and daughters, and our all of our acquaintances, you know, they say, well, what do you mean it's illegal? It's not illegal. I can go to Colorado and go into the shop. You know, I can go into California. It's a very difficult discussion. It's, you know, you have obviously the group of people that want to legalize things so they can regulate it. It causes the NBA a great deal of consternation on how to regulate it, and especially when you have schools in the state of California and Colorado where it's legal. So it's very challenging.
Another debate, it's not a debate, but something that happened a few years ago, and Kelvin Sampson was on the pro level, and I know that you know Kel. Well, everybody, if you've been involved in basketball, you know Kelvin Sampson, especially he was one of the first, if you call it, minority coaches that had success as a basketball coach on the college level, whether you agree with how he did it or not. But he goes to the NBA. Everybody thought he would continue to stay in the NBA. He opts to come back to the college level. He's at University of Houston, the Houston Cougars, to try to revive that program. Here's a guy who got in trouble, at least what we know about, the cell phone situations. It was illegal at the time. I thought it was silly back then, but now it's not illegal. He's back in college basketball. Just your thoughts on that whole situation and him being back. And I know you're not here deciding on whether he's good or bad. Just your thoughts on that, having been where you were and knowing the things you know.
Well, I think we have to take the high road, quite frankly. I think we have to understand that he was penalized. He served his penalty. He received consequences. And a close watchful eye will follow him to Houston. If Houston's comfortable with that background, then Houston's comfortable with it. There are some institutions that would not be comfortable with it. Coach Sampson is an example of an individual who received consequences and served them. There are a few of those guys out there. He went through the process and was found guilty of certain things. It really comes down to an institutional decision. I think anybody dealing with youngsters wants quality character people that make good, healthy decisions. Hopefully Coach Sampson's on his way to doing that. Obviously he knows X's and O's with some of the best in the country. And now hopefully the next rule that is identified as stupid, he still goes by.
And Bill, when you look back and you see, listen, guys, listeners, hindsight's 2020. And I know we've got listeners all over the country and some outside the contiguous United States. But, Bill, you know, sometimes I look back and I say, well, it was a rule then, silly rule maybe. And it's not a rule now. How do you feel about that? Not having been in the NCAA, but just as a former coach in general and a parent of an athlete, here's the rule today, and the rule doesn't exist tomorrow. And I know life is like that. What was legal one day is illegal the next and maybe legal again down the road. What your parents allowed you to do yesterday, they're not today, and they do next week. It's got to be... It always bothers me. How did you think out the rule? Who went through the process? How did it get there? And then did no one see the foresight of where things were going? That, you know, if we jump in here and put a rule in, we're gonna have to do an about face in about 5 years from now. Did that ever come up in discussion?
Well, I think it does, Coach. It's a great observation on your part. I think in the early years of the NCAA, meaning the 50s, 60s, 70s, very, very few outside entities observed the NCAA very closely. Certainly no individuals did. There were very few organized groups. Certainly going into the late 90s and then the 2000s, you know, you have the President's Commission that was put together by a foundation. You have a plethora of lawyers out there that are watching, and you have some disgruntled former institutional employees being a watchdog. So for many years, I don't think there was that kind of balancing act. Certainly, I remember sitting in meetings in the mid-2000s there, when I was still there, as the catchphrase became unintended consequences, and that actually was part of the process. So if Rule A was written, the positives were written about it, but then there was a column about unintended consequences. And then people, once again, just had to live with it. Having said that, so many of these decisions were based on budget and money and finances, and the other thing it's based on is the whole competitive issue that I mentioned to you, to keep the level playing field. So if you take those two criteria, not always logical decisions can be made based on money or based on level playing field. And I think that's how we end up with some of our crazy decisions. The NCAA has too many rules. We all say it. We all know it. We all live it. I think less regulation is better. And I think as you separate these schools a little bit, where the big guys can make their own rules, they're really not going to have any excuses anymore. So the big guys are going to have to make some real healthy choices and live with them, and they better open up their pocketbooks.
Yeah, and Bill, you make a good point. And folks, this is why I love having Bill Somm on. And I, for the life of me, am happy we have you. But you ought to be on some other talk shows, because the wealth of knowledge you bring to the table. The unintended consequences line better be
Coach,
something.
First, I would say that I'm on the best talk show in America. So right now.
But the unintended consequences column that you bring up, it better be on the mind of every athletic director, every school president in these major conferences that starts doing this, because at some point there is going to be unintended consequences. And you said it at the start of our talk. If people are competitive, they're going to find the angle. They're going to look for the angle. It may seem stupid to some of us. It may seem strange to some of us, but they're going to look for that, and they're going to give it a try. Bill, it's always great stuff. Next time we have you on with your NCAA hat, I want to talk about stipends, how they can be increased, who they can go to, and how they'll be policed. But before we end our segment, we got about 3 minutes left. NFL draft coming up. Does a quarterback go number one? Is Jermaine Clowney going number one? Or is somebody nobody's talking about going number one? Or just your ideas on who do you think, with your football background, who looks to be a big help to these teams coming out of here?
Well, here's the deal, Coach. I've been thinking about this since you and I agreed to speak this morning. And my view is a little bit different, I think, than the common view. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars at stake here that these general managers are going to spend. Now, 2 years from now, if Johnny Manziel is a Hall of Famer, then that GM is going to be the smartest guy in the world. But if all we got to do is talk about Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, and everyone forgets that was a really, really, really close call on who they were going to take. Now, I wasn't in the room, but, you know, it was quite a debate. What I would do, I would take the tackle from Auburn, because if I can protect whoever I have back there, then I'm going to win some football games. And if I can rush the football, I can win football games. There's no doubt that the NFL is a quarterback league, which means I'm not going to take a quarterback unless I know 98% sure he's going to make it. And golly, Johnny Manziel is so tiny. You know, he's just a small dude. And the kid Bridgewater at Louisville had a horrible pro day in shorts and T-shirts. So what's he going to do when he puts the pads on? And, you know, I'm not a great historian of the NFL, but you don't see these running quarterbacks win at Super Bowls time and again. Now, the kid at San Francisco, I don't really put him in there because he's so big. But, you know, the Michael Vicks, he's been hurt more than he's been healthy. And I just don't know about these running guys. I don't know how they're going to stay healthy. I'd take the Auburn tackle. I'd find a left tackle that I could live with for about 8 years, and that's who I'd take in this draft. The Clowney kid, I personally wouldn't take him until I sat down and visited with him. I don't like the way he played last year. That's not fair because, you know, he was so, so well-known and so such a, you know, that hit he had in the Michigan game just put him in another stratosphere publicly. So I would really have to sit down and visit with that young man to make sure that he wants to be one of the greatest ever in the NFL. I mean, he certainly has the body type. I just have to check and see how high his motor runs. So I think it's far from a draft where that I know if I take this kid, I'm going to be in the Super Bowl in about 4 years. I think everybody knew the Luck kid was pretty darn good. I think the day has gone by where you take a running back. I wouldn't take a running back in the first or second round. You don't. You know, if you can block, there's plenty of kids that can run. So I think it's going to be an interesting draft. I think publicity-wise, some owners are going to step in and make their GM take Johnny Manziel. Every now and then I hear that Jerry Jones is interested in him. That doesn't surprise me. You know, that'll make sense. he's the GM of that football team. So, seriously, though, it's going to be a very interesting draft. I just don't see it as one that I can pick me a quarterback and go win the Super Bowl with.
I tend to agree with you all the way. I don't think the best pick this, at least even in the first three spots, is a quarterback. But we'll see what happens. Bill, great stuff. I mean it, great stuff. Thank you for sharing your experiences and your thoughts and the processes with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Joe and I are going to hit the mailbag and finish up the last half hour of the show. It's a wonderful Friday. At least looking out the windows of my studio, it's got to be just as good where you're at if you're listening to our show. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Coach Kanjo Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach Kanjo Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo!
Now here is Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're ready for the Coach K mailbag. Coach, are you ready?
Joe, what a great time with Bill Song. I mean, I don't think people realize he's got so much insight in what went on at the NCAA.
And he's a smart man. He realizes what the number one talk show in the nation is. You know, let me add, Bill Song speaks the truth.
Let's get on with the Coach K.
Okay. First question just came in just 2 minutes ago. We're going to start with this. Mitch McGarry gets a suspension for a year for his first offense. Fair? Joe from Seymour.
Wow. Joe, I tell you what, I'm not sure how to answer that. I'm not probably as clear on the rules as I probably should be. If it was for marijuana use and he broke the drug policy, if the rule is clear, now if there's variations of the suspension period, it can be half the year, six games, whatever, then I've got to wonder about it. Were there other tests we don't know about? I don't know. And see, that's why before I cast a judgment on whether it's fair or not, I'd like to know a little bit of the full story. And I do think there is a cultural divide in society on what is okay and what is not. And, folks, I have never tried marijuana, pot, whatever you want to call it, or any of the other illegal drugs that are out there ever. And you know, I'm very fortunate. I've never had I've never had an inquisitive mind that needs to know. It just has never been necessary for me. But obviously there is a large portion of our society that has grown up in this. They think it's okay. But as far as the suspension, I would have to know more about how the rule is written, Joe. I would have to know more about, is this the first one he flunked, or has there been others? And the only reason we know about it is he's decided to leave Michigan and go to the NBA.
Okay, next question comes from Chris and Jasper. This is more of a statement. I think he wants your opinion. The Pacers have crumbled. Vogel will be gone, and so will Hill or Hibbert. But Larry Bird needs to look season moves thing as well. A lot of this falls on his shoulders. You don't mess with chemistry.
I think Chris makes a great point. I don't believe here's what I've got to say on this, folks. Chris, anyone else listening, I think that the media and the fans got down on the Pacers way too soon. The unfortunate thing is that the Pacers must be fragile mentally. But I think there's some other things at work. I think Don Schulteis, our contributor, has it right. I think there's some other underlying causes we don't know about and may never know about. I think Hibbert's injured. I think that when you're injured and you're physically trying to play through it and you're struggling and people are saying you're struggling and people are calling you out for other things and you maybe aren't as mature as you should be, it just piles on. Let's remember, a few years ago, folks, check it out if you don't believe me. LeBron James was crumbling in the playoffs when he was at Cleveland. Early in Miami, they crumbled. But over time, LeBron James learned to handle it, become more mature, and his teammates helped get through that. But they do have Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. If LeBron James wasn't on Miami and with Dwayne Wade hurt, Bosh, who doesn't like to play inside, what would we be saying about the Miami Heat right now? So here's what I've got to say about that. Larry Bird made a couple of moves. He went out and got Bynum. It really had no effect on the team other than if they got a Bynum who could play. Has he brought bad energy to the team? No. Is he whispering in Hibbert's ear? I don't know. If you go back to the show, earlier shows, you will notice that I did mention that I was not a fan of Bynum's attitude. I think that he was bad for any team. But can a guy just come in and be a non-factor on the floor and in the locker room and still sit and whisper into guys' ears and bring them down that much? Well, poo on him and poo on those guys that are listening to him. Secondly, Chris, Bird brought in Turner. He thought he was bringing in some extra scoring. He is a guy that has never clicked in the offense. I think that anybody that has watched the Pacers has to agree. He did not himself. In fact, at times he stagnates the offense. So Larry Bird does have to look at that. But those two moves alone, maybe the biggest move was getting rid of Granger. Maybe that was the bigger move that maybe Larry thought Paul George and a couple of the other guys were strong enough mentally as leaders to handle things, and they didn't. But the two moves that he made were really non-factors unless they benefited the Pacers. They should have brought the Pacers down. And I still think the Pacers play pretty good defense, but they haven't found a rhythm offensively. Scola was a great move by the Pacers. Larry Bird, he's playing well. What's happened to George Hill? Where's he gone? Where have you gone, George Hill? paraphrase a Simon and Garfunkel song. I'd sing it all, but I know that's not what you want to hear, Chris. So, yeah, I think Larry Bird has to be looked at for the moves a little bit, but the moves he made should have only been a benefit. If they didn't work out, they shouldn't have brought the Pacers down to this level. I really think the piling on by everybody has hurt a fragile team, maybe more fragile than anybody realized, Joe.
Okay, next question comes from Charlie in Jasper. IU announced this week that they bought out their contract with South Florida in football. They have added Florida International to the schedule. Good or bad? And let me preface this by saying, I pay money to FIU, so you know I take that a little as an insult, because I think that Charlie is mad about it, because I think he's one of the stronger schedule.
I'll tell you what, I think that IU, and I think Fred Glass is a smart man, and he's tried to do the right things at the IU athletic department. But I think overall, you know, first of all, I'm an alum of Indiana University, a paying alum of Indiana University. I have children, you know, full of disclosure here. I have children, a child that goes there, a child that did go there, probably another child that will go there. I don't give to certain things at IU because I don't like the way the money is doled out there. We talked about earlier with Bill Song how many of these athletic departments are underwater. And I think some of that comes with what we just taught, what Charlie's just asking about. Was it that imperative to buy out that contract? Was that game the difference between IU being successful in football or not? Kevin Wilson and his team winning in the Big Ten or not? I don't think so. Either team, they ought to be able to compete and play and beat them. So I don't like that we paid millions of dollars out to coaches who never finished their contract at IU. I don't like that we're buying out teams that we set a contract up with. You know, there's an old adage, Joe, and sometimes situations get in the way and you can't fulfill it, but for the most part, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's actually biblical, to be honest, and guys, I'm in no way a saint. I make mistakes every day. But we have too much of this. We're going to sign a contract with you, but we can buy you out if we don't want you, or you can pay us to get out of it. Why'd you sign the contract to begin with? Why'd you do that? Now, I know this stuff happens on the high school level, too. When I was an athletic director at a school, we had a contract with another school. They paid us to come play at their gym every year. They paid us a certain amount of money. It was a win-win. They got an extra home game. We got some much-needed money in our account. They always honored the contract until a new contract came up, and they decided to cancel the contract. But the contract was honored up to that point. So, Charlie, I don't like any time they're buying out contracts of games that were scheduled to be played. I don't like it. Maybe the other guy does because he gets some money and he can go find another game. But to me, IU is wasting money that they get from the people who support the school, and we had no say in it.
Okay, next question. We're going back to high school basketball. We've got Mark from Washington. Barrie basketball team had a great year this year. What are their chances of getting back to state next year and finishing the job?
I think they've got a good shot, but every year's different. They have some key positions in place. You know, Brian Hughes, of course, should be sticking around with his staff. It's a competitive school. They do outstanding things there. They do have a big hole to fill. Micah Bullock, who's going on to play at junior college, I think, Rend Lake. Micah was a 6'3", 6'4", perimeter player who could handle the ball. Tremendous athlete. Reminded me of a taller version of Scott Mills, Joe, who you'll remember played for me at Jasper. Was quick, shoot it, could defend. When he was focused, they have to fill that void. It's tough to replace a 6'3", 6'4", athletic guard. especially on their level with their numbers. But they do have a number of players who can fill the void, not with one, but with two or three. They'll have to spread that scoring out a little bit. I think he had 25 in the championship game and played really well. It'll be a tough void to fill, but I think they can do it. I can't say they'll get back to the state championship game. I can say that I believe they will make a strong run in the tournament if those guys come back hungry. You got to come back hungry. I think Addison Wagler will. I think Logan James will be a year older, a year smarter, a year more experienced, and I think that's great when you have a point guard who's coming back and he's only going to be a junior, and he's been starting since he's a freshman. A lot will be how hungry they are. Chris Whitmer, a few other kids that come in. Speaking of Bar Eve, Joe, I'm going to brag on my son Josh, who is an assistant on their basketball staff. He's a teacher up there. He is also the academic coach for, I think it's their English team. They did win their area contest and qualified for the state academic meet. And so I'm going to give a shout-out to Josh and his English, I think it's his English team. First time they've ever accomplished these feats. And, again, what do you go to school for? Not just sports, folks, to get an education. So to those young men and women at Bar Eve, congratulations. And there are other schools around the area that qualified as well. But they did qualify out of their area, which was quite an accomplishment.
Okay, next question. BYU's Matt Carlino, who was at one time an IU verbal, is looking to transfer to Purdue to play his fifth year of basketball. In your recollection, has there ever been a guy who verbaled to one IU or Purdue and then also end up playing for the other later?
Wow. I know there's been some guys that verbaled to IU and went to Purdue or went to Illinois or vice versa to Purdue. I don't know, Joe, do you remember anybody?
I don't remember anybody in this situation, no. And I think Carlino, he verbaled to IU, and then I've been searching on the internet. I can't find it. I think he verbaled to somewhere else before he ended up at BYU. So he's been very well traveled. He even transferred from, California to Bloomington South for his senior year of high school.
Well, you know, this fifth-year transfer rule, which I didn't get a chance to talk to Bill Sahm about. I wish I would have. Boy, this is a confusing rule to me. I really think this rule is crazy. And I think that it shows just how nervous the NCAA is that they are making rules like this one. I'm struggling with the rule. I'm struggling with why it's okay. It's just, you know, the head coach hasn't left. Beilein didn't leave Michigan, that John Horford would need to go somewhere else. I understand they claim, well, you know, recruiters, they bring in new players. This gives the older player an option to go somewhere that might benefit him. It's just confusing to me. What do you think about this Carlino going to Purdue? Do you think this is a good move for Painter? Is this a good player to bring in?
Well, you know, he's a nice outside shooter, and so I think that it's a good move. But I don't remember where I read this at, but I did read where someone had mentioned that it's going to lead to a lot of coaches questioning whether they redshirt someone because they can leave them. They can leave, and and it's just not a good deal for the program. I mean, this year, Sandy Marchus, went to DePaul. He could have been a key backup this year for Hammonds, but he felt like to play pro basketball. I don't know if he meant NBA. I think he probably meant European more than anything. But he needed to showcase his talents more, and that he would get more of an opportunity. So, and Sandy had a nice end of the year last year, and you know, a lot of people were looking forward to what he could do this year, and he just leaves because he thinks he's got a better opportunity elsewhere. I think a lot of coaches are going to have to think twice about redshirting someone. I mean, you know, because what they can do is all of a sudden someone who could be a key cog, for instance, Horford even, you know, you're left with a void.
You know, Joe, you brought up that. That is a great point. And for our listeners, I don't know that if you ever thought of this. And, Joe, you bring up a great point. I got to give you credit. You are on it today, Joe.
Oh, I
know. To redshirt a player now, you are putting your program in jeopardy of possibly losing that player at the height of his talent. Really, seriously, the height of his maturity and his talent to go somewhere else and play for someone who may knock you out of the tournament, keep you from getting in the tournament. It can turn out to be a big negative. And I never really considered that, Joe. I never really took the time to sit down and think about that potential problem that could come out of the fifth-year transfer rule. I just kept thinking about how silly this rule seems to be that you're allowing guys to move around. It's not very fair to the people that didn't get redshirted and are staying for their senior year. So I would put this, as Bill Somm talked about, in an unintended consequence of the fifth-year transfer rule. And I think it's a great point, Joe.
Yeah, I can't take credit for it. I've read it somewhere, so I cannot take credit for it. And I've got the next question. We've got two more questions to get in here before the end of the show. Do you feel like the state of Indiana will have any teams in the NCAA tournament next year? If so, who?
I think the state of Indiana has a great chance to have IU and Purdue back in the tournament next year. Laugh if you want. I think Notre Dame could get there as well. But 1 year makes a big difference. I know that a lot of IU fans are saying, Coach K, you're crazy. I could be. But 1 year can make a lot of difference as kids mature, not just physically, but mentally. Things become easier. The game slows down for them. The one thing that IU has to address is their perimeter shooting. And I know a lot of you are going to say, well, Vonley's gone. What about their inside game? I think that they have some guys that can fill in tandem, and sometimes it's better to have two guys on the inside instead of focusing on one. But they've got to become a perimeter shooting team of note if they're going to open up the inside play or the dribble drive, which Coach Crean likes to do. He loves the dribble drive. But you can't get the dribble drive unless people have to guard you on the perimeter because you're going to hit the shot. So you got to be able to do that. Purdue, if A.J. Hammons can focus himself for the majority of the game, not all the game, the majority of the game, and they can get their guards to understand we got to run that ball to the inside and back out, I think that Purdue can get back in the NCAA tournament. Because, Joe, think about some of these teams. Michigan State, Michigan now with McGarry leaving. There are going to be some big holes in the Big Ten. Will they fill them with good players? Yeah, they're good. Guys, they're going to fill them with good players. And listen, John Beilein can coach. And Tom Izzo can coach. They wouldn't be there if they couldn't coach. But you got to have good players. I think I'm a pretty good coach. I really do. And I know some of you might be snickering. Yeah, right. I think I'm a pretty good coach. But you got to have good players to execute the things that need to be done. And you can practice and practice, but if you can't execute them, it doesn't matter. Now, on the college level, it's a little different because you can bring those players in. So you better have a staff that can coach them, that can develop them, especially in this day and age where you got to do it with young players because your older players are already gone. Last question, Joe. We got about, looks like to me, we got about 6 minutes.
Okay, this comes from Mary Dale. We've got a female listener, and it's not a WNBA question. Do you see IU rebounding next year in hoops? Do you see IU rebounding next year in hoops? And then also, what are your predictions for the Hoosier football team?
I love female listeners. I married one. She's listening to the show. Janet and Beth in their office, I'm sure, are listening. Mary, it's a great question. I think I kind of answered the IU hoops question. We're going to have to hit the perimeter shot in order to open up what Coach Crean loves to do with the dribble drive. We're going to have a couple of guys, maybe Devin Davis, a couple of other guys, Perea maybe, I don't know, guys that can fill in the low post. I know that IU was counting on picking up a big man in the fifth-year transfer situation. I know they were hoping. It doesn't look like we've been able to do that yet. And I say we because I'm an IU alum and I'm an IU fan, and when Joe talks about Purdue, he will say we. But if IU cannot improve their perimeter shooting, they can't open up the dribble drive. Now, I think you can improve your perimeter shooting and open up the dribble drive by just adding a series of ball reversals and skip passes. But that takes discipline, and that takes focus. And you know what else it takes? Repetitions in practice, and you got to push it in the game. I don't know if IU wants to do that. But, again, that's a coach's prerogative. Football-wise, I think IU will have a great offense again this year. It will be a shining star nationally. The big key is, can they get better defensively, Mary? Can they fill some holes? You know, we were very critical, and I say we, I mean IU fans and Purdue fans, were very critical of the defense. And I think at times we were overly critical of some of the young players who had talent, who opted to come to IU instead of a more well-known football school or schools in the Big Ten or around the country. But we need to remember, these are freshmen, and their impact on the game is bigger than what comes up in the stat book and bigger than what we may notice with the overall finish, because there's not five players on the field. There's 11. And so many other people need to be doing things defensively because there's a lot of guys on the offensive side doing things. And IU proved that offensively. They could score points quickly. They could come back in games. They couldn't hold the line. It's a game of attrition. Football, when you get up to the line, is a game of attrition. And IU did not have the foothold to keep the attrition going in their direction defensively. So, Mary, if we could fill a couple of holes and the new defensive coordinator can re-energize this defense and the fans can stay positive, the offense can help us get over the hump a couple times in the early games, I think IU can have – Joe's laughing right now because he knows what I'm going to say. IU can have enough wins to be bowl eligible next year. And should be, and Coach Wilson knows that.
Okay, let me calm down. Okay, Coach, we've got 90 seconds, it says. I got a question for you. Where were you 27 years ago today?
Oh, my gosh, 27 years ago today?
Yes.
Was I at your wedding or something?
You were in a tux at Holy Family, ready for me to marry my beautiful wife, Liz O'Brien Milligan.
Hey, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good, Joe. I at least got, I thought I was, I knew I was at a wedding, and it was yours, and we had a motley crew of groomsmen for your wedding. Congratulations to you and your wonderful wife, Liz. I know you guys have shared the good and the bad, the ugly and the beautiful over those 27 years. You've got a great family, your kids. And you know what's more important, Joe? And I'm going to give you guys a lot of credit. No matter what comes you guys' way, you've stayed together. You've become one. And, you know, biblically, again, people probably don't want to hear it. Biblically, you become one. Man and wife joined together as one, and you've done that. And, of course, Janet and I are on 27 years as well. It's not an anniversary today, but I give you guys all the credit in the world. Happy anniversary.
can honestly tell you I've told her many times that she's going straight to heaven, so.
That's funny. Hey, but you know what? You guys are gonna have to post-celebrate that anniversary because Liz is going to be out of town with your son Reese this weekend, correct?
Yes, Liz will be heading to Tennessee with Reese, and I will be staying home. Rafe's got a track meet. Reed's being inducted into the National Honor Society on Sunday. I'm sure with Josh and Paige, you've sat through the induction. Maybe you can tell me how long they are. I mean, I won't care. I'll be proud that I'm there. But I can honestly say I did not make the National Honor Society, and so I've never been to a ceremony.
Well, Joe, doesn't matter where you were, it's where you go, and you've gone a long way to the Coach K and Joe Show. Take us home, Joe. Have a great weekend, folks.
Okay.
Stay blessed.
Hey, it's going to be a beautiful weekend. There's track meets, there's tennis matches, there's baseball games, there's high school sports abound. And I invite you to go out for the money you're going to spend. You're going to find no better entertainment. I can't guarantee you will be there, but if you want to sit and talk about the Coach K and Joe Show, you might show up at Wings and Rings tomorrow night for the Pacers game. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But the Penguins also will be on TV, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you might be able to sit with Coach K and Joe and talk a little Coach K and Joe Show. So, on behalf of Coach, this is Joe saying we'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.